Have you ever thought about what you're going to do if you're out in public, maybe with your family, friends, or maybe by yourself, and a critical incident unfolds before your eyes? My next guest, James A. DeMayo, brings extensive security, law enforcement, and consulting experience to both the public and private sectors. He is the author of the best-selling book on family safety and preparedness called What's Your Plan? A Step-by-Step Guide to Keep Your Family Safe During Emergency Situations. Next on the CJ Evolution Podcast. Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Patrick here. Thank you for spending a little bit of your valuable time with me. That's how we continue to grow. That's why the Criminal Justice Evolution Podcast is a top podcast. We continue to grow because of you, the listener and supporter. Thank you so much. Big shout out to the brave men and women, whether it's in the military or first responders. Thank you for what you do. You protect us every day. Happy 4th of July to everyone out there. Please be safe. So excited to be sponsored by Detectachem. This amazing company, folks, is protecting our brave men and women in uniform. Portable threat detection is now available in the palm of your hand. This great company is protecting us from explosive devices, protecting us from harmful drugs. Head over to cjevolution.com. Click the link to Detectachem. See what they can do for your organization. You know, I often think of the world we live in now, still a great place. We live in the best country in the world. But it's still unsettling sometimes that we live in a world where active shooters are out there. People that want to do harm to innocent civilians are out there, folks. You got to be vigilant. You got to be aware of your surroundings. That's why I'm so glad to be talking with James DeMayo. He is an amazing individual, a lot of experience in security and law enforcement. You're going to get a ton out of this episode. Take some notes. Enjoy the show. Very excited to have my next guest on the show, James A. DeMayo. Hello, my friend.
Patrick, sir, thank you for the opportunity.
Well, I appreciate you being here, brother. For those people out there who don't know who you are, who is James?
James A. DeMayo, 28 years in the security industry, 21 of which I was with the Nassau County Police Department on Long Island, New York. I worked at patrol, community affairs. I taught at the police academy. I actually transitioned into or was designated a detective in juvenile and missing persons, and I retired in 2011 from my first career and earned a postgraduate degree from Adelphi University and transitioned into my second career in 2011. Mm-hmm.
Thank you for your service, sir. Many, many dedicated years to law enforcement. You're also the bestseller, or have a bestseller out there, What's Your Plan? A Step-by-Step Guide to Keeping Your Family Safe During an Emergency Situation. I want to talk about that, obviously, but first is first. I always like to ask Leos who come on the show, James, why did you become a cop? What was the catalyst? Was there somebody in your life that steered you towards that path?
Well, you know, at the time, my older brother, he ended up retiring as a deputy chief from Port Washington, the town mm-hmm. that I grew up in, but he was with the NYPD, and I always thought I would end up maybe going to law school and going that route, but I had just taken the police exam, and I happened to do very well, and in the early 90s, I went into the Nassau County Police Department, and it was the best decision I ever made in my life, to be honest with you, yeah. And it taught me to have a love for public service and camaraderie, and you know, I wouldn't have changed that experience for anything in the world. And here I am, you know, so many years later, just, you know, continuing my passion to, you know, be a servant leader and just, you know, make, you know, work with folks like yourself, but try to make, you know, our world safe and secure for our families.
Yeah, love it.
Our future.
I love it. And we talked a little bit about off the air, James, about, you know, all the challenges. I mean, it is definitely, I think we both agree, it's definitely a more dangerous job than when it's always been dangerous, but I think it's just turn on the news and you can see what's going on. I mean, people are shooting, our brave men and women in uniform almost. I mean, it seems like it's a daily occurrence, man. I mean, I just read, you know, some officer was shot and killed in Texas. And it's what do you think some of the challenges, you know, going forward with law enforcement are going to be?
Well, yeah, certainly, you know, a dangerous but noble profession. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're seeing that there's challenges with recruitment and turnover mm-hmm. and transfers and, you know, mental health for officers, the stress, the physical stress. you know, just being under the microscope 24/7 with social media. It's a very, very difficult job, but certainly, you know, we've entrusted our officers to keep us safe and sound. And it's really, I think the key is to, you know, just to make sure that the public doesn't lose faith and confidence in our first responders, because without them, it makes it a very, very difficult situation. So we certainly want to show our support. We want to have those effective communications between, you know, obviously the private and public sectors. And we want to do everything we can based on the numerous security challenges we're seeing both domestically and internationally throughout the world.
Now talk about those. It's a perfect segue. Talk about those security challenges that you just mentioned, James.
Well, it seems to be kind of a laundry list, Patrick, in A through Z, with active shooter, active assailant, bomb scares, IEDs, inclement severe weather, errant drones, the threat of terrorism, whether that's domestic, international, or the extremely unpredictable lone wolf, certainly political instability, protesting. You know, living here in Raleigh, North Carolina, there's been challenges, you know, on college campuses, UNC Charlotte. There was an active shooter situation just recently, Silent Sam over at the University of North Carolina. So we're looking around the country, and, you know, I don't have to remind everybody, but 2020 is right around the corner. So we have to look at kind of like the political landscape. Certainly with these active shooter situations, they're very contentious because, as we mentioned, you know, off the air, just, you know, mental health and obviously gun control, they're very, very contentious, divisive issues that people are extremely passionate about. And as I've mentioned, you know, if we continue to kind of point fingers and want to be right for our own specific reasons, it makes it that much more difficult to actually come up with tangible solutions to solve these very complex problems that we're seeing in the United States right now.
So talk about your book, James. What's your plan, a step-by-step guide to keeping your family safe during an emergency situation? And again, we talked about this a little about active shooter situations and how many, I mean, it's just all these soft targets out there. And first of all, can you explain what a soft target is for the listener in case people don't know what it is? And then just talk about your book and the premise behind it.
Sure. Two great points, two great questions. Soft targets, we're looking at, obviously, places of worship, you know, typical areas where you don't have screening measures or metal detectors, you know, as opposed to, let's say, going into, you know, a professional sports stadium. So it's that balance between, you know, again, some of the schools we're seeing now, post-Parkland, they're starting to harden those targets. But the softer targets are mall areas, open spaces where you don't, as I mentioned, you don't go through any type of screening procedures to get into that space. Typically, you know, malls do have contracted law enforcement that work there. You know, during the holiday season, you know, obviously Thanksgiving and Christmas time, but softer targets, places of worship, are starting, in light of current challenges, Patrick, they're starting to, you know, obviously, you know, hire law enforcement. They're creating safety teams. But I guess the balance that we have to find, and especially after speaking with the educators with all the challenges in the schools, is, you know, we don't want to harden the targets so much that we end up traumatizing the children.
Sure.
And that's where the educators come in terms of, you know, keeping the kids safe and sound within, you know, the K-12 and the university vertical. So softer targets are easy to penetrate in terms of threats of terrorism or insider threats or active shooter scenarios. But again, it's one of those things that we have to look at security from a holistic standpoint. We can't work in silos, meaning, you know, if you work in HR, well, it's not my responsibility. It's security, or vice versa. It's a collaboration of efforts with all the key stakeholders within these verticals to share information in a timely manner to help mitigate these threats to the best of our abilities.
And again, these, for the listener out there, and you, everybody knows, or at least should know, you know, especially law enforcement, these are tough decisions to have. I've been, you know, done countless discussions, as you have done, James, going into businesses and things like that, talking to people, because these are uncomfortable discussions. You know, what are you going to do if an active shooter comes in here? But like we were talking about a little bit off the air, is I always used to tell people not to be curt or coy or, you know, smart asses. People would often ask, you know, okay, what do we do, you know, in the interim before you guys get here? I mean, in the cops. And I'd say, I don't know. What are you going to do? These are the things that you need to be thinking about, right?
Oh, absolutely. I had the good fortune of attending an active shooter presentation just last evening in a local town here in the Raleigh area. And the officer did a great job, you know, with the community and sharing the information. And his stats were very comparable to mine, you know, 2017 in an active shooter situation. basically the bad stuff's over in the first 10 or 15 minutes. That's bad stuff's over before the good guys get there. Mm-hmm. Fast forward the clock to today, our conversation right now, 2019, and we're looking at a 5 to 10 or 5 to 7 minute window between the time the actual call goes into 911, law enforcement, you know, receives the call and responds to that scene. So the challenge is, you know, obviously people in that space, whether it's a place of worship, a university, children, it could be a sporting venue, it could be, you know, some kind of a situation where, again, you know, some people think it's fireworks, as an example, mm-hmm. when it's really a real live active shooter situation. It's having that pre-planned response, knowing what to do prior to law enforcement, you know, responding to the scene, you know, places, you know, the individual in, tactically in a better position to survive that kind of situation. Because law enforcement does the best they can mm-hmm. with the resources that they do have. But it's that point of contact up until the point that the officers actually enter or, you know, breach that scene to deal and mitigate that potential threat. Mm-hmm. That's the challenge. It's yeah. that time before the officers get on the scene.
Yeah. And it starts, I think one of the main things is that it starts with being more aware of your surroundings, right? I mean, I tell people all the time, get off your phone and start being aware and cognizant of everything around you, right? Like we were talking yeah. about, if somebody looks yeah. weird, if somebody is acting strangely, don't just say, well, that's somebody else's issue. Somebody else will call. Get on the phone. We used to tell people this all the time. Dial 911. Call the police. Let us come and check it out. I mean, don't be afraid to speak up. And if you see something wrong or you see an individual or individuals acting strangely, do something. Call somebody.
You know, we could have the largest police department and military, you know, in the world, so to speak, with the American public. If we mm-hmm. can get them to buy into that mantra, see something, say something, run, hide, fight. But having that situational awareness, you know, one of the things that I learned, and I'm sure you did in law enforcement, is everything is a real thing until proven otherwise. Mm-hmm. So if we go in with the mindset, you know, and, you know, we, you know, you don't have to be in law enforcement just to have that awareness. Something doesn't feel right. I tell folks to trust your gut instincts. Mm-hmm. If you're in a space and something doesn't feel right to you, someone looks out of the ordinary, you know, it's 95 degrees in Denver, Colorado, and someone's wearing a long trench coat, that could look, you know, obviously out of the ordinary, you know, if it's a hot day outside and someone's wearing winter clothing, as an example. So it's just being aware of things that don't look right, things that look suspicious, letting somebody in a position of authority, whether it's, you know, security that work at the mall, guest services, law enforcement that are assigned to these areas, letting the first responders and obviously the public, you know, sector entities, you know, and security, let them know, you know, that something doesn't feel right to you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, let the first responders look into these scenarios and vet things to make sure that obviously, you know, it's not potentially a bad situation. Yeah.
And I love your book, though. I mean, I love the title, What's Your Plan? Because then it, you know, it, again, people don't, cops don't get beamed to a, you know, to a critical incident. You know, it's what are you going to do in the interim? You know, those seconds are critical. You know, I mean, so I love that. Can you share a little bit, some useful nuggets of your book with the audience?
Well, absolutely. And again, I'll just say on a personal note, there is a reason why I wrote this book. Mm-hmm. I never thought I'd be an author. I never thought sure. I'd be blessed to be a best-selling author. It's been a lot of hard work, and obviously with folks like yourself helping me get this message to a larger audience, certainly couldn't do it without you, Patrick. But, you know, this basically was a situation a couple of years ago when I was with my family in a suburban mall in Durham, North Carolina. Up on the second floor, all of a sudden the lights go out. And I look around and I see everybody looking down at their smartphones, desensitized to the world mm-hmm. around them. My son, Aiden, who's 15 at the time, was 13, said something to me that was so profound, little hairs on the back of my neck stood up. And as we left the mall, all the lights were out, we decided to have a conversation as a family on what we would do in the event we were faced with a true emergency situation. And we went home that night, sat around the table, and that was really the impetus for me to write this book mm-hmm. Based on what my son said to me. So, you know, that's really the motivation behind it. You know, again, 28, 29 years in law enforcement, 9/11, the blackout, Sandy, but when it comes from your own family member, the mouth of babes, so to speak, that was really, the shining moment, the defining moment for me to really try to do something to get this message, you know, to a larger audience. So again, mm-hmm. you know, I wrote the book. It's 82 pages long. Ironically enough, 82 was my shield number as a police officer.
That's cool.
I didn't design the book to turn out that way, but it did. And so it's broken into different security verticals. Again, you know, sports and entertainment venues, places of worship, obviously carnivals, festivals, wherever you find yourself in a public place with your family. And as I mentioned to you earlier, Patrick, it's not written for security practitioners. It's written for families, moms and dads and kids, just to share the information. At the end of each chapter, there's an exercise action list. There's a glossary in the back that kind of breaks down some of the terms that we've talked about so far. Just makes it tangible and easy to understand. And again, it gets folks in the mindset of, you know, we're going to church tomorrow. Yeah. Well, let's take a look at the chapter on places of worship. Yeah. You know, we're going to a Denver Nuggets basketball game. Well, let's look at chapter one on sports and entertainment venues and discuss what we're going to do when we go into that space, when we're going to leave, where our vehicle is parked. Does everybody have a fully charged cell phone? Have we created a special meeting place, you know, outside of the venue? I always say, you know, follow law enforcement's direction and guidance once they get on the scene. But as we've talked about earlier, it's those crucial first 5 to 10 minutes
exactly
before they get down there, utilizing some of the tips and strategies that I share in the book. Again, it's to get the information out there without creating fear, but to empower families on knowing what to do during times of crisis. Yes.
And that's going to be linked up. James DeMeo's book is going to be linked up in the show notes in case people want to pick it up. I would highly recommend it. Now, for those budding authors out there, James, what advice would you give them? You penned a book. It's super successful. What advice would you give people out there saying, you know, crap, I want to write a book too. James did it. You know, what there's a lot of people doing it. I mean, what advice would you give them?
I would say that success will not happen overnight for obviously anything that you're extremely passionate about, but it's something that you really, if you really truly believe in, you know, the mission of your book and the message you're trying to get out, you will be successful as long as you surround yourself with a team and realize that it, you know, you can't do it by yourself. It has to be a collaboration of efforts. You know, in my case, I hired a book collaborator, a ghostwriter, if you will. I have a publisher in Plano, Texas. We formed a very strong team. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, it's these kinds of conversations. It's social media. It's just getting out in front and putting in the tireless work, as you know, with your podcast and all the wonderful work you've been doing. It's tireless. It's constant. It's really behind the scenes, you know, laying the groundwork. It's kind of a top to bottom, you know, approach to getting the information out. And as I mentioned to you earlier, people say to me, James, your book is ever so timely. And in my mind, it was timely in 2017, just as a security leader. And most importantly, as a father, right? I send, you know, my two kids out to the same world that I send my readers out into. So, you know, unfortunately, all the crazy things that have happened, Patrick, since I wrote the book, there's definitely room for another book, you know, as a follow-up when we get into severe weather and fires and floods and all the things that we're seeing around the country. So, you know, again, it's a great opportunity to have a conversation. It's timely. We just want folks to be empowered, to not be scared, to just have that situational awareness, to know what they're going to do tactically to best survive unthinkable situations.
And I love it. I love what you're – and I'm going to quote what you said. I just read this, you know, talking about, you know, since you retired from your Act One, I love that, Act One, you know, you're doing so much more things. You're wiser. You're more well-rounded. My best advice would be to face your fears head on, take a deep breath, and simply go for it. Make your dreams a reality. You can't change the world by having fear. I love it. You can't change the world by talking about it. You have to go out and do it today. I love that. I mean, all those people out there listening right now that are, you know, maybe you're in a place where you're like, what do I do? I'm going to retire. I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, I want to start this business on the side. I want to write a book, consulting, whatever. Just do it. Go for it. Take that chance, man. You only live once, right, James? I mean, you only have a limited amount of time here. You might as well do what you want to do and go for it.
Absolutely. And if you want to change the world, you know, you have to just, you know, put the fear factor aside and just say to yourself, you know what, you've been blessed with God-given abilities. You have to use them and share them with the world. And you have to do it, you know, today. You can't talk about it. You just got to go out and find something that you're extremely passionate about and just go for it. That would be my best advice.
Yeah, and I talk to cops all the time, people that are like, you know, and you probably have the same conversation, James, where they're like, well, I can't do anything. I'm just, you know, I've just been a cop for 15, 20 years. I don't have any skills. What are you talking about? You don't have skills. You got all kinds of stuff to give, keep giving back after you're retired. So,
absolutely, absolutely. And it's just the end of one act, so to speak, and the beginning of a new. But ultimately, you know, again, follow your passions, make your dreams come true. And again, this is a great conversation. I love everything that you're doing, Patrick, and I'm honored to have a friendship and obviously look forward to working with you again in the future.
Well, brother, we appreciate you being here. If people want to reach out to you, again, it's going to be linked up in the show notes where they can find your book, James. What's the best way that they can contact you?
Oh, absolutely. My website is jamesadimeo.com. We are on Amazon. We have a Kindle version. We have obviously the hardcover. We're on consignment in a few bookstores, but ultimately, you know, again, I've been, you know, it's a grassroots campaign here in Raleigh, but also regional television in Charlotte, trying to, you know, reach a larger national TV audience. Certainly these podcasts are very helpful with getting the attention of some of the media leaders, you know, on the national level to have this conversation, you know, get the message out. And again, you know, I'm honored to have, you know, the conversation with you today, Patrick.
Well, James A. DeMeo, it's a pleasure, sir, having you on the show. Much success to you in the future. Anything we can do to help you, you know, on that success path, James, please let me know. You have my contact information, obviously. Everything we talked about will be linked up in the show notes. Any final words of wisdom you want to give the listener, James?
Yeah, and I say this, you know, time and time again, you know, enjoy your lives. Don't be fearful. You know, share the information with your family. But ultimately, you know, I always talk about lead from the front, lead without fear. Education and knowledge are the antidote to fear. Fear is simply not an option if fear is not part of the equation.
Yep.
And that's really what it comes down to. And if you have that mindset and you're not afraid and you're educated, you know what to do, tactically you're going to place yourself in a good position to best survive these types of situations.
Well, thank you, James, so much, brother. And I want to have you back on, you know, sometime in the
Absolutely.
Future.
My pleasure.
It was a great talk, brother. And please have a great night, and we'll talk to you later on.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast. For more strategies for self-improvement and resources based on today's episode, be sure to head to cjevolution.com. You can also connect to Patrick directly on social media at @Pat_Fitzgibbons with any questions, comments, or concerns. We look forward to helping you find more personal success on the next episode of the CJ Evolution Podcast.